Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, who joins us weekly and who we appreciate deeply. The films are Monrovia, Indiana, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and Green Book. That's it. Buster Scruggs. He's an old friend of mine. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. If Buster Scruggs was an old friend of yours, it must mean that you are very, very old indeed, because he is, in fact, a character in the Old West in that movie. However, let's get to that in a moment. The three films that I want to talk about today are all our theme is basically Americana, or Americana, to be a little classier about it. And to begin with Monrovia, Indiana, this is our documentary for the day, because this is a film by the very, very great documentary maker Frederick Wiseman. Fred Wiseman has been making movies for decades and decades. He is now almost 90 years old, and he is still going strong, as Monrovia, Indiana demonstrates. What Fred Wiseman does is he makes documentaries about usually, in fact, almost always American subjects. And he goes in with his camera and he makes what I would call observational documentaries. There's never a narration telling us what to think or guiding us through the material. He simply presents material on the screen, sights and sounds that we take in and form our own conclusions about. His very first film, a movie called Titicut Follies, had a real effect on the real world because it was an inside look at a hospital for the criminally insane. Well, let's just say for the extremely mentally disturbed, and it showed the conditions there to be so horrific that it actually resulted in a change in the laws in Massachusetts, which is where that hospital was. That was a bit atypical. I think it's arguably his very greatest film ever, his very first one. It was atypical because it really showed an institution which had scandalous conditions. Normally, he goes to places that have good reputations and simply shows them for what they are, and sometimes bears out the good reputation of the place, and sometimes actually shows that the reputation is not so well deserved. His movie High School, for example, which went to a high school with a good reputation and showed that there were a lot of things in that high school going on which were very unfortunate indeed. So his movies sometimes have an upbeat sort of a view of things, sometimes a downbeat view of things. In the case of Monrovia, Indiana, it's a complex picture, because even though the movie is very, very simple on the surface, there's a whole lot within it to be gleaned if we care to really look at the material carefully and think about it. Monrovia is a small farming community in the American Midwest, and as some people are pointing out, given our currently very polarized America, it's interesting that he goes to Indiana and makes just, again, a very observational, non-judgmental documentary about what goes on there. And there's not a whole lot of politics in this movie. In fact, there's very little, even though politics is evoked by some of the places where he goes. For example, he goes to an evangelical church, and we get to hear some of the preaching that goes on there for a while. Again, completely non-judgmental, and I'm sure that people on all ends of the political spectrum will just simply watch it and say, oh, well, that's very interesting. That's how things are done in Monrovia, Indiana, in a typical Midwestern community. He goes to a gun shop at one point. He goes to the sorts of public places like a pizza joint, where people nowadays often like to go to sort of interview voters and see what they think about things. And again, all of this, to repeat what I said, is very non-judgmental, very observational, and we simply get to watch how things go on in this very quiet community and draw our own conclusions. There's a little bit of politics. There's some town council meetings. For example, there's a great deal of discussion about where a particular park bench should be installed. And that's, again, very typical. Fred Wiseman likes to show people working together to solve the problems and improve the life in their communities, sometimes with good effect, sometimes and not such good effect. Fred Wiseman's most recent movie of this ilk was about 3 years ago. He made a movie called In Jackson Heights, which was about a community in New York City, which I think is a better film. And then just a few years ago, back in the very end of the 1990s, he made a very long movie called Belfast, Maine, which was about a community in Maine, which I think is a far deeper film, which really gives us a whole lot more to think about American life, the way people are sort of processed, and the way we sort of pick up our attitudes from the environment that we're in. And then that goes on to shape the environment, and it becomes a kind of a loop where not much originality, not much new way of living comes out of that. I think Monrovia, Indiana is a minor film by Fred Wiseman's very, very august standard. By Fred Wiseman's standards, it's also a quickie. It's under 2.5 hours long, which for him is quite a short movie. That said, I found it very enveloping in a kind of organic way. It's a movie that sort of takes you in and makes you feel you are there. As I sometimes say about movies, it's less a story to be followed. It certainly is not a story, than just an environment to inhabit for, in this case, a little under 2.5 hours. A fascinating movie, a fascinating document by a filmmaker who has been going on again for decades and decades, although I can't say I consider this one of his major works. Next film I want to talk about, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, is a Western directed by the very talented, the very gifted Coen brothers, Joel Coen and Ethan Coen. And they also have been around making movies for a whole lot of decades now, and this is an unusual film for them in a couple of ways. Number one, it is having a theatrical release, but it is mainly available on Netflix. So anybody with access to Netflix can see The Ballad of Buster Scruggs anytime they want to. Another unusual thing about it is that it is a multi-part film, it tells six separate stories all set in the Old West. The first one is the title of the movie as a whole, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. The others go into various other little narratives. The whole movie is, a little over 2 hours long. So what we basically have here is a series of short films, all directed by the talented, written and directed by the talented Coen brothers, and giving us a kind of a panoply of different views of the Old West. So very briefly, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the very first one, stars Tim Blake Nelson as the eponymous hero of this, who is a cowboy who kind of wanders through the Old West and sings and occasionally shoots. There are some shootouts in this part of the movie. And it's a sort of a comic tale, even though it comes to a rather unhappy end for Buster Scruggs. And again, singing cowboy stuff. So very traditional in its own way, but carried out in somewhat non-traditional ways, particularly in the violence that explodes on the screen at a couple of points, although it's sort of semi-comical violence. The next sequence, which is called Near Algodones, is about a bank robber. In a very isolated bank in the middle of nowhere in the Old West. The third one is one of my favorite episodes. It's called Meal Ticket, and it is about an impresario played by Liam Neeson who travels about with the one attraction that he has to promote, who is a declaimer, an actor, an orator, who is simply known as the artist and who is played by Harry Melling and who has no arms and legs, but he is a very gifted projector of prose and poetry. He recites Shakespeare and Abraham Lincoln and a whole series of different sort of important formal texts. And then this episode with the impresario and the artist comes to a very unhappy end for one of the two characters. The third one, called All Gold Canyon, stars Tom Waits as a prospector who is very old and who has obviously been spending many years searching for gold, hunting for that gold strike, and he finally finds it and then thinks that things take an unexpected turn. That episode is based on a story by the great Jack London. The next to last episode is called The Girl Who Got Rattled, stars Zoe Kazan as a young woman who is traveling out west with a wagon train, and something happens to her brother who she is traveling with, and then very unexpected things happen with some other people on the wagon train. And the final episode, which is called The Mortal Remains, involves a bunch of people on a stagecoach and the suggestion that death may be hovering very, very nearby. It's interesting that The Ballad of Buster Scruggs in some ways is a rather regressive Western. For example, the only Native Americans who show up in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs do nothing but whoop and attack and wave their tomahawks around and pose a threat to the white people. Another interesting thing is that there are hardly any female characters in this. Zoe Kazan is very, very fine as the central figure in the next to last episode, and Tyne Daly shows up in the very last episode. But aside from that, this is almost entirely an all-male affair. So people who are looking for how well our current movies are reflecting the current state of things in America might conclude that minorities and women are not perhaps getting their full share of attention. In other respects, I found The Ballad of Buster Scruggs very uneven. I really liked the episode called Meal Ticket and the one called The Girl Who Got Rattled. On the other hand, the opening episode, The Battle of Buster Scruggs, I felt was just stupid and pointless. So it's an uneven film, but it is gorgeous to look at all the way through. Just look at the beautiful vistas and you'll probably have a pretty good time. But if you think about it a little bit farther than that, you might find The Ballad of Buster Scruggs to be, yes, a minor work from the very talented Coen brothers. Finally, our last film, Green Book, a very, very interesting subject for this film, which is directed by Peter Farrelly, who is best known for comedies, including a number of comedies directed with his brother, Bobby Farrelly. But in this case, there is certainly comedy in it, but there's also a fair amount of dark stuff as well. Green Book stars Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, two very talented actors. Viggo Mortensen plays a guy from the Bronx. He's basically, at the beginning, a bouncer in a very fancy New York nightclub. And we see him do some bouncing. He's also a very Dees Demon Doze kind of guy who knows a lot of mobsters and you know, is very much a part of the Italian-American tough guy scene of his time. And he needs a job at one point, and he finds a job working for a jazz musician named Don Shirley, played by the extremely gifted Mahershala Ali. He needs a chauffeur, but he needs a tough chauffeur, because this jazz musician, Dr. Don Shirley, he's a jazz piano player, and he plays a very, very high-class brand of jazz. He's actually a classically trained musician, and by the way, a real-life person. But he has taken to playing jazz, because he can earn a living better that way, especially as an African-American musician. He needs a tough guy chauffeur, sort of a bouncer chauffeur, because he is about to go on a concert tour that will take him through the Deep South. So we have an African-American musician who is going to be traveling by car through the Deep South, playing his various gigs with his trio. The other two guys in the trio are white guys, and they're traveling in a separate vehicle. But he expects that he will run into trouble in the Deep South, and he needs this tough guy chauffeur. And as the movie proceeds, we get, you guessed it, an unlikely friendship develops between this tough guy Italian-American chauffeur and this very, very highly educated and extremely gifted African-American jazz musician played by Mahershala Ali. He is a very important American actor, and more important, it seems, by the year. So, there are times when I found, oh, by the way, Green Book is named after a publication, an actual publication, a little pamphlet that told African-American people who are traveling in the Deep South where they can safely stay, the hotels and motels where they can safely stay and not run into all kinds of trouble. So the movie is basically the story of this developing friendship between this Italian-American chauffeur and this African-American jazz musician. And certainly enough, they do run into some trouble. Don Shirley runs into some trouble with racism along the way. And at one point, there's an episode that involves homophobia as well. And the chauffeur has to help him out of various scrapes, sometimes by using his fists. It's a movie with a certain amount of comedy in it, but always there is this atmosphere of menace, shall we say, because the movie takes place in the early 60s when racism was even more rampant in America than it is today. We also, by the way, see racism in the Bronx as well as in the Deep South. So it's a movie that shows that racism is certainly not just limited to one stratum of America. The acting is terrific. Viggo Mortensen, who put on a lot of weight to play this role, is very, very strong. And Mahershala Ali is a very, very gifted actor who is at his best in this movie. A wonderful performance. Also a lot of very fine people in secondary roles. I found parts of Green Book to be trite, Not believable, not plausible, but by and large, it's just a very engaging movie. And above all, it is a very nice movie that ends up just developing an atmosphere of sweetness and light, which is maybe a bit too much, but at the end of the movie, I just felt very warm. I felt warmly toward the movie, warmly toward the characters, and warmly toward the attitude that the movie gives us, which that is, there is hope for us all, after all. And that is a nice movie, I think, to be projected in this Thanksgiving season as we move into the rest of the holiday season. So Green Book is a movie which I can recommend, not without reservations, but with minor reservations. It's a movie with a very, very good spirit, and that's something that we can really use. So that is my somewhat American-esque story this week, Jill.
And we wish you good spirit, too. Thank you very much. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, The Films, Monrovia, Indiana, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and Green Book.